said, we would like to give an opportunity for these two gentlemen up here, two very, very involved and people who have been in the footwear industry for years already, in different aspects, but still in the footwear industry. So I guess, Ronnie, Jeff, you want to introduce yourselves?
Go ahead, sir.
My name is Ronnie Feig. I am owner and founder of two retail stores by the name of Kith. I design footwear and now apparel as well. Been in the industry for 16 years and opened up a retail store, two retail stores in the last year and a half. That's what I do. What do you do, Jeff?
My name is Jeff Staple. I'm the founder and creative director of a company called Staple Design. We're a menswear collection. It's been around since 1997, and we also have a creative agency where we work with different brands, all types of brands, all types of corporations, but in this particular case, we do work with a lot of footwear brands. And we also have a retail store in New York City, two in New York City, one in Tokyo called Reed Space. And we also publish a magazine as well, and we have an art gallery out of Reed Space also. So those are the different things that we do.
So I think first I'd like to ask you both, as people that have been fans of the footwear industry, in the footwear industry for decade plus, how do you think that websites such as over the past like 5 years, like how do you think websites such as Facebook, such as Twitter, have expanded how people find out about footwear, how people communicate about footwear, and how you as fans of footwear, streetwear, have been able to absorb all this stuff?
That,
so
actually, to add on to what Dylan just asked, I'd also just like to say, not just Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, like social media, I guess some of us perceive it as more of the new age of social media, like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube even, but just in general, how do you think the internet has changed your consumption of sneakers, your fandom of sneakers, I guess?
Well, I think it's a double-edged sword. You know, when we were growing up, it was a very sort of like Indiana Jones kind of like, archaeological dig in order to get shoes, right? You'd have to like make phone calls, mail stuff, put stuff in a box and send it, and like, you know, fly to different countries and search for stuff. Now, of course, with the information that's accessible, it's super easy to get all of that stuff instantaneously. So that's great for being able to learn about different things very quickly, but I think it also diminishes the appreciation that one has for it, in my mind. Like, I used to, you know, really covet and cherish some of the stuff that I would find, and now I find that I get something, and it sort of just sits in a box, and maybe I'll wear it, like, you know, a couple times, but it's not something that I truly, truly cherish. And I don't know if that's because of my age or if that's because of the means of which I get it, where, you know, now it's just clicking a PayPal button and getting it in 2 days versus like having to fly to Japan, take a train to Kitsuchoji and like digging on my hands and knees to a warehouse in order to find a pair of shoes. It's like very different, you know. So when I get that thing in Japan, I'm like taking it back like a child. And now I open a box, I'm like, cool, got it, put it on for a day, and you know, that's it.
Social media definitely made everything faster. So I think that people cherish things for a shorter amount of time just because of how quick information gets put out on the internet and how quick it's on the first page of a blog, and then by the end of the night it's on the fourth page. So the information, there's just an overload of information all over the place. So I think social media definitely helps businesses push product, but on a ground level, I think it's still important for you to have something concrete for people to hold in their hands and build a following off that. In the beginning, blogs and the social media were a lot more influential. I feel like if some, you know, blogs play a big part in what goes on. I think that Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are great, but you know, blogs are like the new, basically like the new magazine or the new publication where people log on all day, every day, whether you're at work or at home. And back when they first started, they were very influential, and today, although they still are very influential, they are less there's a less of an impact than what they used to have because of the amount of information they're putting out. So I think that although social media is very important, to capitalize on social media, you still need to build something from the beginning. You need to build a following on the ground level, you know, just like Jeff did. And you know, I started in 06, and it was much more on a ground level back then than it is on social media and on the internet today. So I think it's a mixture of both, really. It's not all social media that helps out. You need to start somewhere and build your following from there, and then it could expand on the internet and become a global, you know, a global thing.
I agree with what you were just saying about blogs, like, sort of diminishing or finding it more challenging to get, like, your proper exposure on blogs. It's amazing to me how, you know, when I started the company, there was no blogs, right? So I'd have to actually, like, print postcards and manually hand them out and stuff. And then blogs came. People were blogging. People were commenting on the blogs. And then came Facebook and Twitter. And now even to me, you know, I adopted to Twitter, but then I feel like, to me, Twitter is sort of dying. Like, I feel like it's slowly dying. You know,
less and less of an impact.
Yeah, I mean, first it was blogging and there was the post, then you comment on that, but now there's Twitter, which is 140, and then you retweet that, and now there's Instagram, which is no words, it's just photos, and now you don't even have to type anything to comment, you just double tap. So it's just becoming more and more compact. Like, I don't know what's gonna be next. Next is just like mental impulses in each other's heads. But we're just getting more and more like contextualized to like the point where it's just becoming like almost nothing, you know? And like blogging now is like writing a novel. It's like the most archaic thing to write a blog. Like,
it's true.
Right? Writing a blog post is like, man, I gotta write a book.
The question is how many people actually read the posts.
Right. And you pass more information on the post for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I think that Instagram is, and I always thought it would be as soon as I saw the app and played around with it, I saw the potential because it's becoming a very easy thing for people to you know, go up and like you said, it's just the easiest procedure to just, you know,
yeah,
the process of liking a photo,
right,
is you're like, you know, you're on your phone and you don't even have to like move. You're just,
yeah,
like, yeah, I like that. And people see, what is he like? What is that guy like? Mm-hmm. Who is he following? I think that the social media companies are definitely figuring out the best way to put their code out or their programs where you need the least amount of work to do anything. You know, it's becoming a lazy situation for the internet. People don't want to read, and the pictures just have the biggest impact.
Right, it definitely shows in the comments that happen on our Instagram. Right? Like Ronnie will put out a picture of a shoe and say, "This releases this Friday." The first comment is, "Yo, when is this release?" Like, you just said this Friday. You know, like, this shoe releases Friday. But, like, I joke about it with him all the time. Like, this shoe will cost $100. Yo, how much is this shoe? Like, you just said it's $100. Like, read the sentence.
That's why my posts are getting, like, vulgar. I'm just like, it's like, in caps.
So, speaking of, I guess, blogs in general, yeah. I guess now at the time we've left, I want to talk about, I guess for Jeff also more, that you've had to adapt or you've had to, that like Read Space and Staples Live was well established much before, much before like Twitter, Instagram, all those came out. So for you, I guess, how has it been adapting, how those programs helped you, and Ronnie, how's it been like establishing Kit through Twitter, through Instagram, through the power of social media over like these past few years?
Well, to me, it's really just a medium that makes things easier. Like, as I said before, we used to have to, like, print postcards, hire street teams to distribute them, leave stacks of them at different cafes and everything. And now, you know, that whole process is like a 2-3 week process to, like, create, print, output, pre-press, deliver. Now it's literally just you bang it out on a phone and you get a more effective message. To me, that's just a helpful medium, but the message doesn't actually change. It's the same message. So as Ronnie was saying, if you don't have the message prior to a new medium, it doesn't matter, you're still talking complete BS or real stuff, you know? So you really need to have that substance, or else it doesn't matter what the medium is.
That's so true. And also, like, you know, there are a lot of different committees or meetings about social media and how it could improve your business, you know? And people, I think, have the wrong perception. There's no amount of money, I believe, that you can put into a social media expert to come in and create something from nothing, you know?
And save your business.
Yeah, and save your business, exactly. And it's something that I always felt like it was vital to have a brick and mortar and just have something solid, which is something that we both have. But when you have somewhere or some place where people can come and interact with you on a ground level, to me, that's what helps build and opens up gates to social media and blogs. You know, the blogs have been a major part of what I've done and what I've been able to do since 2006. Honestly, it was Matt Hatfield from NiceKicks.com. I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but it's the number one sneaker blog on the internet. He was in the store when they just started NiceKicks, and he was just taking pictures of a Timberland boot that I just worked on. And, you know, we built a relationship, and he put up a post and mentioned my name and how I worked on the shoe. And then, you know, people back then, a post on a blog was a lot more influential because there were fewer posts, you know? But there were only for the, it was only for limited product. It was before the giants, the corporate brands, found out and really saw the potential of blogs before they interfered. And I say interfered, but before they came in and they said, you know what? We need to start feeding the blogs all different product that we have coming out, and they could basically take the highway and cause massive traffic, if you'd like to say, you know. So it was really back then that whole thing started, but it definitely helped, and it gives you global exposure. I mean, global exposure is great. You just have to find basically an outlet. A major outlet that respects and likes what you're doing so he can put you in a spotlight. Back then, it was possible. Today, it's a little tougher. And I believe that print is actually gaining a little bit of traction now, more than it has in the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah. Only because people are looking to resort to something different. They want something of substance. Yeah, exactly. So, social media is a great outlet.
Yeah. On the other hand, too, for me, like, I won't do something if it doesn't feel authentic to me. Right. For instance, like, I'm not on Facebook, and my company is on Facebook, but it's probably the weakest element of our social media strategy because I'm not on it. I don't personally believe in it, so we don't do it. We don't do it just because everyone else is doing it. You know, we only do it because if we feel strongly about it.
So with that, I would like to thank Ronnie and thank Jeff for coming out today, and thank you all for listening to us.